This is Business Dimensions. Expert insights for your business with host Deborah Burns of Crystal River Advisors. How do you take control and conquer the biggest challenges you face? Learn from leading experts on today's show. Unlock solutions to your most difficult business problems. Now here's your host, Deborah Burns, on 770 KKOB.
Good evening. It's Deborah Burns, host of the show and managing partner of Crystal River Advisors, LLC. Crystal River Advisors help business owners focus on their business potential, performance, and profit, and overcome the challenges to getting more of all three. You can learn more at crystalriveradvisors.com. I want to thank our sponsor of the show tonight, Business Acquisitions, LLC, and also thank Eric Lucero, our producer for the show. Thanks, Eric.
How are you today?
We're great. We're great. Thanks for getting us on the air and keeping us on the straight and narrow tonight. And I want to introduce our expert guest and a longtime friend, actually, who's been on the show numerous times, Jim Eaton.
Thank you, Deborah, for inviting me back to the show again.
Well, Jim, you've been a wealth of information for us. You've been on the show once before talking about how to sell a business. You've been on the show talking about how to buy a business. And tonight, you're coming on to walk us through the very complex world of valuing a business. So thank you.
You're welcome. Determining the fair market value of a business is very, very complex. It's one of the most complex processes in a business environment, and be happy to help you with that.
Well, great. Before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, Jim?
Well, my wife and I moved to New Mexico in 2007. She had a position with Presbyterian Hospital, and I sold my CPA firm in Houston at that time because I guess I was tired of tax season.
For good
reason.
And it's
tax season now, and I don't miss it.
Yeah, you get to look at all those poor CPAs with red bloodshot eyes and say, not anymore for you, huh?
Right. But I enjoyed the part of my business as a CPA where I helped business owners get their business ready to be sold and also helped many clients buy existing businesses. And that whole process was something that I really enjoyed doing. And so that's what I'm doing here. And I worked with a lot of very large companies doing that and also some very small companies selling the business and buying a new business. It's a complex transaction, and it's one that I enjoy helping people through.
Well, you bring a wealth of experience and knowledge to big and small business transactions alike, and we're really fortunate to have you. So the Business Acquisitions LLC is the firm that you're using now, or that you have now, to do those transactions. But before we get into talking about valuing a business, you mentioned to me before the show that there was an article this morning in the Albuquerque Journal that was reprinted from the Wall Street Journal that you wanted to share with our listeners. So tell us about what that's about.
Well, I'm going to summarize the article for you. It was written by Sarah Needleman for the Wall Street Journal. And the topic was When Banks Won't Back Your Startup. It's about a lady who wanted to open a bookstore, and she tried to get financing for it. Banks all said no. And finally, she decided that she would buy an existing business. But banks think startup ventures are particularly risky, especially when the entrepreneur doesn't have any proven track record. And startups have an extremely high risk of failure. I don't know what the real number is, but it's very significant. But there are ways to improve the untested entrepreneur's risk profile. And one of the best ways to do that is to buy an existing business that has a solid performance history.
Right. So in the example, she wanted to start a bookstore, and when she couldn't get the financing, she ended up buying a bookstore.
Right. And the reason why these small businesses that you buy are a better or lower risk for the banks is that it has a proven history, it has a track record, it has employees. The banks can look at prior financial statements and say, hey, this business makes money. Whereas when you're a startup and you're starting from scratch, you don't have any of those records to go by. Another way, instead of buying an existing business, is also to buy a franchise, because most of your franchisors have training programs. I think we've all heard of Hamburger University and
right,
those other,
right.
Well, that's fairly common with the franchises to have a training program for the new business owner.
And they have the proven track record, and they bring that track record to bear in locating the franchise and all those types of things.
That's right, and that's why those are easier to finance than a startup.
Right.
And also, startups are often more expensive than buying an existing business. This is not what most people think. Most people think that, well, they can buy an existing business and it's going to cost them more than what it's going to cost them to start up. In this particular example, it showed that she was able to buy the business for $150,000, whereas a startup was going to run $200,000. Well, that's a lot of money for a small business.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, as careful as you might be in trying to estimate the cost of a startup, invariably, because I work with a lot of startups, there's just a lot of unforeseen expense and costs that come up despite every effort to keep it on track and on budget.
That's right. And with a existing business or even a franchise, both of those, you have some numbers, some ratios, something to work with other than just your own idea of what your startup business should be like.
Right, right. Well, thanks for sharing that, Jim. That's really a valuable insight and can help a lot of folks who've been wanting to start their own business maybe take a step back and see if there isn't a better way to do that and get the banking support they need if they're struggling to do that.
Well, it's all about success.
Exactly, exactly. So we're going to shift gears here and talk about the topic for tonight, which is valuing small businesses. And we want to make it clear, Jim, that you do not value businesses, and you're not in the valuation business, but you know a lot about it, and that's why you're here to share.
Well, my valuation perspective is primarily what will a buyer pay for the business as opposed to the more technical valuation reports that you can obtain from other people. You know, I'm willing to tell people what I think their business will sell for, but that's not something you want to take to an IRS examination.
Right, right. So we're starting to touch on a variety of different types of valuation methods. But first, why don't you talk to us a little bit about values based on the type of buyer?
Well, generally, there's three different types of buyers. There's a financial buyer, a strategic buyer, and a lifestyle buyer. The financial buyer is primarily interested in the numbers. They're interested in the ratios and everything about it and how much money it generates. A strategic buyer is normally going to be one of your customers, a vendor, or a competitor, somebody that has knowledge of your industry and values the business based on things such as, like, cell phone companies often would sell for number of subscribers times a set number, which isn't one of the other valuation methods.
Right.
Lifestyle buyers are tired of corporate America, for instance, or they want to start an antique car restoration business. And that's kind of what a lifestyle person is interested in. But within these three categories, there's two different types of buyers within each of them. And that's a buyer that wants to buy a clean business, one that has all the systems in place, has everything documented, everything is nice, neat, and orderly, and they can more easily replicate and reproduce what was going on with the prior owner. And the other type of buyer is one that wants to buy a dirty business, one that doesn't have all those systems in place, and they think that they can buy that business for less money. Normally they can.
It's kind of like the business buyer's fixer-upper.
And that's it. It's exactly it.
Uh-huh.
And there's actually some groups out there today that are going around trying to teach that, like flipping houses. And
oh, wow. So how to buy a distressed business and turn it around, huh?
That's it.
That's a whole... That would be quite a feat to teach something like that. So why is the nature of these buyers important for folks to realize their impact on the valuation of the business?
Well, if you are the business owner and you're getting ready to retire from the business or you want to do something else, then it's important to know what kind of buyer that would be the best buyer for your business. And, you know, these three buyers that we talked about don't include employees that will buy you out, because they are a different breed, and that's a different type of buyer.
So the type of buyer sometimes affect the market value or the marketability of the business and the way it should be valued. So I know there's many, we were talking before the show, there's many, many ways of valuing a business, and you're going to walk us through seven or eight of them.
Right.
There's
more than just these eight that we're going to talk about. I mean, we're going to go through these very, very briefly. I mean, we could spend 30 minutes on each of these topics, but I just want to give people an idea of what's out there.
Yeah, and I think it's just important for everyone to realize that there's a number of factors that affect the appropriate valuation approach, and you're just going to give us a flavor for some of them.
Right. Let's just start with market methods. And this is where you compare the value of a business with similar businesses that have been sold in the same industry as what you're in, the same business basically sold a year or two ago down the street.
Okay.
And that's kind of a market method.
Because the theory there is that it's a validated price based on a real transaction happening there, kind of like you might value homes, you know, based on actual transactions completed. Okay.
Right. And the next one is a method that's used primarily by bigger companies. And when I say bigger companies, I'm talking about businesses that are primarily $10 million a year or more in gross revenue. And that's called sustainable free cash flow, or income capitalized earnings on discounted future cash flow. So that's a mouthful.
That's right.
And it's a very sophisticated method. Sometimes I need help doing that one myself. And yeah, I've done it a lot of times, but it is a very complex method.
Well, you're a CPA, so if you have a hard time, this should be really left to the professionals.
And this is one of the methods that you'll wind up with in a formal valuation report that you have from a valuation expert.
Okay, and what's the next one?
Liquidation value, and that's basically what it sounds like. It's business isn't going to go on. What are the value of the assets that are there? What can they be sold for in an orderly liquidation such that it's a given time frame, but it's not a forced liquidation where everything has to be sold by next Friday.
Right, which would obviously be a lot lower.
Certainly okay. Would be. And then we've got adjusted book value, which is pretty much an accounting concept. You look at the stockholders' equity, the owner's equity, the partner's equity on a balance sheet, and that's pretty much what your adjusted book value is. You adjust it by certain things that you know that aren't correct in it, such as if your real estate has gone up in value quite a bit, then you might use that as an adjustment.
So this is really a GAAP, generally accepted accounting principle-based valuation approach.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And another one is public company guideline methods, and that's where you've got stock market prices available to value your business as compared to a competing business in the same industry. And you can pull up those numbers off of the Wall Street Journal or pull them up off from your stockbrokers and figure out what's going on with that particular industry and what the multiples are for that industry, and you can get a value that way.
Okay.
But small businesses don't have that.
Right, right. And then what's another one?
Analysis of prior stock sales. Now, this could be that you bought the business from somebody else, and that is one value that could be used. You could have a buy-sell agreement with one of your partners in the business, and that could be a valid method to use for valuing the business.
Based on the prior transaction. Okay. And then what's this rules of thumb?
Well, rules of thumb are where you have different ratios and you try to use those ratios to come up with what the value of the business is. I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of rules of thumb, lots of ratios. Some people improperly use these mm-hmm. because one of the things that's very important to know about rules of thumb when you're valuing a small business is that most of these rules of thumbs are based on middle market. This is a business that is profitable. It's not a business that is highly profitable, and it's not a business that's losing money. It's one right in the middle. And when you're right in the middle, and everything is stable. You're not having great big increases in revenue, and you're not having great big decreases in revenue, then a lot of these rules of thumb work.
But I guess in a volatile market or in a situation where you're shrinking or growing meaningfully, that can put stress on the existing business and infrastructure cost and expense ratios, and so that creates a whole lot of need for adjustment, right?
Right, and that's why they can be used, and they are used very frequently in small business transactions, particularly in business transactions where the business sells for under, maybe $500,000.
Okay.
And I've seen it used on very large transactions also.
Okay. Well, and I know we're going to come back to this because you have something to offer people for free around this rules of thumb to give our listeners. So
yes.
Tune in, everyone, because at the end of the show, Jim is going to offer you something for free on the rules of thumb. What's the last valuation method that you want to share with us?
This one's called owner's discretionary cash flow, or adjusted cash flow. There's several terms that have the same concept to them. And basically what it is, you start with the net income that you reported on your tax returns. And then you add back to that certain expenses that maybe another business owner wouldn't incur, such as maybe your car isn't really 100% business.
Right.
And maybe your wife's car isn't supposed to be in the business as an expense. So you add all these things back in. These aren't real clean numbers. And most of the time, your bigger businesses, 100 million and plus, they don't have these things.
Right, right.
And that's why it's an important concept for small businesses.
Okay. Well, and there are lots of adjustments. I mean, maybe you're paying yourself a much bigger salary than somebody who buys the business would necessarily need to pay themselves.
And
that's
then right.
You add back your salary and then subtract what they would pay themselves.
Sure. And you may have paid yourself a big bonus because you needed a down payment on a new house.
Right.
Or you needed a down payment on a vacation property. Or you wanted to take some money out of the business in order to pay for a child's college education. Lots of different reasons why those numbers need to be adjusted.
Well, Jim, this is a really good overview of just some of the most common valuation methods that might be useful in valuing a small business. Talk to us a little bit about the cost of a valuation.
Well, when you go to a formal business broker, business valuator, I'm sorry, misspoke there, but the cost of valuation is going to go between $5,000 to up to about $25,000. And some of that depends on the credentials of the person doing the valuation. The higher the credential, very frequently it's more expensive. And there's about 9 different organizations that certify the credential for business valuation. And there's 2 that I like the most.
Okay, tell us about those.
The 2 that I like the most is the American Society of Appraisers and also the American Institute of CPAs. Gee, why do I like that one better?
Yeah. Well, but we were talking before the show, and by the way, folks, on Jim's website, biz-acquisitions.com or business-acquisitions.com, either one, biz-acq.com or business-acquisition.com. He actually has a page that lists all the business valuation certification designations and organizations with links to these types of valuation agents. And the reason you like those two is because they're probably the most highly qualified and best for some of the more...
Well, they have the more stringent requirements, and they require the most background in the industry in order to be able to come up with the value for a business.
For instance, if you were trying to value a business for purposes of putting it into a trust and the IRS, you would definitely want one of these two.
One of those two is really important. The more value, the higher dollar amount of the business that you're trying to get a value for, the stronger the credentials need to be.
And a word of caution, you mentioned a lot of people out there running around valuing businesses don't have any credentials.
That's right.
So you definitely want to check this site out and make sure you're working with somebody that has some credentials.
Yeah, and with each of these organizations, there's a link on my website that if you can click on it and you go to that organization and find out all the specifics of their qualifications for getting certified by that organization for business valuation. And you can also find a list of the members. And
right.
So you could go there and look for somebody in Albuquerque.
And you even have on your website a couple of links to the bargain basement valuation methods.
Not that you necessarily
recommend them, but maybe there's a reason for people to want to go through this process. What are those?
Well, I'm going to tell you that you can do these yourself. These are do-it-yourself methods, and you need to use these with extreme caution, because if you start doing this, you need to make sure that you understand the business terms that they use in these valuations. One is from the fair valuers, and it costs $400, and it's basically a fill-in-the-blank, and it's got a lot of complexity to it.
It's like the TurboTax method of doing your taxes, right?
Maybe a little more sophisticated. Maybe not that sophisticated, but it's there.
Okay. All right.
Because TurboTax gets pretty sophisticated. Business Book Press has one that's $100.
Okay, great.
And those are very much less expensive, but I would be very hesitant to take those into a litigation situation or an IRS matter.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So we're going to circle back. We have about a couple minutes for you to tell us what you're going to offer folks who email you, and we'll give out your email address in a moment. Just free, your rules of thumb spreadsheet that actually incorporates many, obviously not all, of the thousands of rules of thumb that are out there, but many of the rules of thumb that would be important to valuing your business. Is that right?
Yes, I am. It's a chart, basically, because it goes through the different methods and the type of business that we're looking at. It's like accounting firms. It says that a low multiple is 100, a high multiple is 125% of the prior year's annual revenue. Now, I have seen accounting firms sell for as little as 50% of the prior year's revenue and as much as 150% of the prior year's revenue. And that's basically based on the profitability of the firm. There's about 70 different methods here, and it tells you whether it includes furniture and fixtures, includes real estate, inventory, accounts receivable, working capital, work in process, or whether an earnout is part of the process.
And, well, this is great, and you're going to offer this to anyone who emails you directly.
Or they can call me.
Okay.
And they can call me at 505-918-9900. And my email address is Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, at biz-acq.com.
Okay, so we're going to repeat that again. That's for Jim Eaton. He's going to send you his free rules of thumb that he's accumulated for valuing businesses at your number, which is
505-918-9900, or my email, which is Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, at B-I-Z, that's B like in boy, -acq.com.
Well, this is great, Jim. I want to really thank you for coming on the air and offering this valuable tool to business owners out there. If you've been listening to the show, you will be able to listen to the podcast when it gets posted in the next day or so at 770kkob.com. And if you want to listen to a couple of Jim's prior shows, those podcasts are on the CrystalRiverAdvisors.com website, CrystalRiverAdvisors.com. And I want to thank you again for being our guest and walking us through this. If you've been listening, this is Business Dimensions, Expert Insights for Your Business. We air every Sunday at 5 p.m. And next week, we will be talking with Michael McDade of Focus Creative Agency. Michael is a longtime native of Albuquerque, and will be talking to us about building a clearer message to get results for your business. I'm Deborah Burns, the host of your show, and I've just been delighted to bring you another valuable session with valuable information from Jim. And check us out at CrystalRiverAdvisors.com. Have a great week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.